Bless the Lord. It's no problem. I don't need an introduction. We were just enjoying the beautiful music, the worship that music can bring. It's God's plan. He sings. Did you know that? God sings. He created birds that what? Babies sing before they talk. And each of you have a song that is gifted to you from your Creator. About 2 years old, people begin to recognize, this person is getting a little loud. Let's make them be quiet. Don't do that. Continue to encourage them because they're singing their song. They're singing their song. I thought I had a little booklet up. I do have a box of them. If you don't have one of these, we will hand them out till we run out. They're free. This is a little booklet that will help you. You say, what is my song? And people say that. Your song is your purpose. David says in the scripture, how is it that you knit me together? And I find out now that you've written all about me, and I have yet to live a day. Right? That's the way it is. If you choose your purpose, you might have a pretty good purpose, but I promise you, you will not touch the one that He has waiting for you. Okay? And so through this book, it's just little things you can jot down notes about your song, things that you see in life, and when your purpose begins to match His, you're on your way. And then one day, guess what? We get to come before Him. And you say, I can't sing. Don't worry, He'll probably sing your song back to you and then say, join me. We will be presented before Him. Jesus is going to introduce us to the Father. And so this little booklet will help you do that. And there's a little story about the harps at my place. And these weren't from the Holy Land, but I do have some that I went with Liberty Life. Back about 10 years ago, we went to the Holy Land. And so what I have learned about David and his harp and the harps of old, I have brought to these harps. I don't play notes. I play Hebrew letters. Every Hebrew word in the scripture has a sound. And so it'll be a little different this morning, but I hope that that you will receive a great blessing knowing that you serve the living God who set all sound in order. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I also have one of these sheets that you can pick up. We have this one folded up and it works better to fold them. But on the back it talks about sound. It talks about the harp. Did you know the harp is one of the things that is mentioned with the sound of God's voice? And I'll talk just a little more about that too. So you want to get one of these. And this blue background here, I took in the Holy Land standing on the Temple Mount looking straight up. That's where a lot of tradition says God spoke creation into being. And it's the place where the temple stood in Jesus' day, in Solomon and David's day. And so that's just a blessing with that. And there's some Hebrew words that I just put that if you do want to sing a song like, for instance, Hallelujah, what does Hallelujah sound like? And it has a sound and it's very beautiful. So this morning, this is the first sound I've heard, getting the harp in the trailer. Both of them here. I want to try to quickly get this thing in order and make sure I've got it right. And what we're going to do is send out a bunch of sound this morning, because sound in the kingdom of heaven is truly more than just sound. Ben, that's about the volume probably. You can turn it on up if you want so we can hear it. I want you to just begin to listen to the sound of the strings. There's a scripture in 2 Kings, and it's chapter 3, in verse 16. And Elisha was the prophet of God, and they were having a big discussion and a dispute. And somebody said, "Call Elisha." Well, Elisha came, and he was dealing with some old problems that Elijah had fixed. And Elisha, when he stepped in, you ever step into a situation, it's just like it's going wrong? And when you show up, it just goes more wrong, and it's just out of control. That's what happened. You know what he said? "Bring me a nagan." In the Hebrew, the word nagan, you know what a nagan is? Someone who touches the strings. That's what I'm doing this morning. I want you to come up. And I brought this harp along. You can touch it. This one here is fragile, and it breaks a lot of strings. So you can do it. Just do it lightly if you do. But be one who touches the strings this morning. And go ahead and read that story when you get home about Elisha and what happened when someone touched the strings. The Spirit of God, since His voice is considered the sound of many harps, He likes the harp. I don't know why we don't have more of them in church. I am praying there's a restoration to biblical harps. And I'm praying that about Israel too, because in Israel, during certain appointments, the sound of the harp could be heard all through the land. From Jericho clear to Jerusalem, they could hear each other. Can you imagine that? There's a reason for that. We think we know a lot about the past. We're still discovering things. But this sound is soothing. It's medically. I got something from St. Luke's this year about music and healing. I'm presently working on taking the name of Jesus, taking the word healing, and putting this to play over and over. There will be things that happen, and I will get you, and I'm going to have it on a thumb drive, and I will get some to the church. If anyone is ill, you can find a little music player that will work with that. So this morning we're going to be thinking about the majesty of God. There was a young man in here when I was here about 6 months ago, and he said, "Have you ever looked up majestic?" Is that young man here? Okay. It might come back to you, because I had kind of forgotten about it till I was just the last day or so working on this. So I want to play for you the word majesty. Majesty. Let's say majesty. Now, we've all sung that song, right? Majesty. Jack Hayford, I believe it is, wrote that song, and it could have been maybe 50 years ago. Beautiful song. So I looked it up in the Hebrew, and we're going to sing it with what it sounds, the word sounds like, with majesty, and this is what it sounds like. It's very simple. Majesty. have a those are our notes. Majesty. Majesty of God. What do you think about when you think about majesty? Let's say that word. Majesty. Majesty. Your majesty. You got to practice. We're practicing here on the earth. This is rehearsal. In heaven, there's no practice. It's instant. You're gonna hit the ground. You're gonna hit not the cloud. It may be ground, the paved sapphire probably. And as you breathe in, like we live, like I gotta get my breath so I can. You know what happens in heaven when you breathe in? When you exhale, it's praise. Yeah, I gotta praise. I gotta. Let's just try an opening phrase. Majesty. Sing it with me. Majesty. Majesty. Oh, Majesty. And there's 24 harps, Revelations say, around the throne. You think they all sound the same? They're in harmony. Majesty, sing with me. Majesty. 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 Majesty, Majesty. Okay, ladies, real soft and beautiful, all right? Here we go. Okay, guys, with strength. Majesty means strength as well. If you have to sing low, it's okay. Majesty. 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 Everybody together. You might want to lift your hand. You might want to just acknowledging. That's what you do in the presence of royalty. Did you know that we are royal people through Jesus, all that He has given us? Here we go again. Majesty. His majesty. His majesty, His majesty, majesty. Life. That's the word for life. Life. He reigns in life. He reigns in joy. He reigns in truth. And He reigns. majesty. In Hebrew, the word is gioth. Let's say that. Gioth. I like the sound of majesty myself. We have everything that we have in life because of prophets who God moved on mightily to declare what would be His plan. And one of those most important prophets that we have in the Scripture is a man by the name of Daniel. And so this morning I'd like to play the name Daniel for you. And we do have a little treat here, just thinking about Daniel. And from a very young age, he was very blessed to know the Lord. And he was busy serving Him. And then an enemy came, and he was taken off to a foreign land that did not know God. But you know what Daniel did? He stuck with the Lord. And God gave him visions and dreams and the plan that even today we are living in what Daniel said would be happening so, so long ago. And so I want you to hear the royal sound of Daniel. You know, Daniel, God had a plan for his life. And he would walk among kings, even in a foreign land. And so enjoy this sound of Daniel's voice. I might have to turn it up, Ben. I'm going to be pretty quiet on this. Thank you. Daniel displayed a love for Scripture. And what he saw in his dream has been shouted in the lands and nations throughout all times. He saw the Lord on a throne. Not many had seen that particular thing up in Daniel's day. And he saw him seated. His hair was white. His garment was white. And his hair was, I believe, also as wool. And then he saw him at a throne. And the throne had fire that went before it. And it's called in Scripture wheels, but it's whirlwinds. Whirlwinds of fire all around the throne. And this is what Daniel saw. He saw a time, and he says there were 10,000s before the throne, and 10,000s times 10,000s were there standing at the judgment. And the books were opened. This was Daniel's dream. And the books were opened. And the Ancient of Days did sit. Let's give our young Daniel just a hand. He was so brave in this. God bless you, Kenton. God bless you. Hallelujah. So this final song that I'm going to do is all of these things just come. I'll be reading or thinking about things, and a word will come. I better go to the harp. And so the Ancient of Days seated. Daniel is the only place that you will find those words in Scripture. And in Hebrew, it's atik. Let's say atik. Atik, kind of like antique. Atik. Yamin and Yathib. It's that again. It's the Ancient of Days is seated. And I told Pastor here a couple weeks ago, I said, this song that came from these three words that a dear friend of ours from the fellowship, Norma, called me one night, and she said, she's in North Carolina, and she's 80 and in care, and she is as sharp as a tack. And anyway, she says, "What, Chris, what do you think this means?" I'm like, "Well, I'll look into it and let you know. And I called her. I said, "Norma, thank you so much for the call. This is the most amazing little piece of music, and it's just a few weeks old, so but it's so beautiful, and I think you'll like it, and you'll identify with what we know about Daniel so far. What is it we know about Daniel? He loved the Lord. He had trials because of an enemy that took him away, but his faith in God just blossomed and bloomed. That's us. We are Daniels in our day, aren't we, sometimes? So don't doubt. Daniel didn't doubt. He just pressed on with the Lord. So this song is about that very thing. So we'll do it in English. The ancient, do that with me, the ancient, and then we're going to go, of days is seated. So these Hebrew words are all spelled very different, but it's like they come together when you put them on the harp and it goes, the Ancient of Days is seated. Doesn't that sound like something, an announcement that you would hear? You know, we identify in the world with things being announced, but the Ancient, I'm laughing, I'm going to explain it in just a minute. The Ancient, I'll get it right here in a minute. Press the wrong pedal. The Ancient of Days is seated right in the middle. The Ancient of Days is seated. He is holy, He's faithful and true. There is no other, all thrones have vanished, and He alone sets us gone. Days seated. Thank you for singing along in a foreign language. It's not foreign to us in the scripture. We just have to learn it. I think I heard in here in the class, you got to get started. Okay. I was a little bit tickled there with the rumbling. There's three things in several places that are mentioned. Do I need this, Ben? This is just sitting here, right? Okay. What time do we leave, Ben? I don't have that much material. You'll have to come and replace me. Okay, we'll no problem with anything like that. Oh, bless the Lord. I've only been at this a little over 2 years, so you might be asking, why all of this? You know, I came in shorts earlier, and and somebody met me at the door and said something. It was just like, whoa. And I'm like, well, I want to speak to you today about the majesty of God's symphony. It's truly His majesty. He is the one who is called His majesty, that we should know His majesty. And I'll talk about that name just a little bit and the meaning of it. But as we get started here this morning, there was some discussion in Sunday's in the class here this morning, and so I want to talk to you about frequencies just very briefly. The harp is very unique because from this low C on this big one clear up, I believe that's a G up there at the top, but all through there, it is something the human body can hear and know. Do you know there are sounds right now that we do not hear, right? And I was going to do a little demonstration with the harp. Long after I've been playing it, like probably even now, I could stick a little piece of metal up there and you'd hear it going bzzz, because it's still vibrating. Sound is traveling. So this morning, you sent across the city of Sedalia a very beautiful praise called Majesty that we will be singing in heaven. You sent that all over the city and the state and the world. It's important. Music is very important. And it's very important to know this about your Creator. So I was looking into this just a little bit because that sheet I was sharing with you there has all this information about how the harp and some of that, you know, even our bodies, they're discovering, have frequencies of things that are going on inside of us. And so, you know, when God's frequency comes, it sets in order, because the first thing that happened was He made sound. He said, light be in the Hebrew. That's what it says. Light be. There was sound, and sound brings order. There was order established. If you look at the creation in Genesis, there was tohu vohu. In Hebrew, that means chaos, noisy, clanking, crashing. Yeah, there's none of this evolution stuff with a 747 just forming itself. Chaos is chaos, noisy. That's why peacefulness is so restoring to our soul. So I am praying for a restoration in the believers' lives that we can know. And you know when something's wrong, something inside will say, I shouldn't maybe be listening to this. And so I want to, everything that God has created will have had a frequency in it. And so that's why I love to get close to the Hebrew, because there is even if you're out of key, there is still an order. There's still an order. So I want you to hear what the order of the things we can't hear are. This is according to NASA. It blew me away. I was like, I've heard that sound. See if you've heard it. Did you hear that? Ben, is this mic on?
One more time.
I thought it was longer than that. I don't know what happened. It must. You think we're getting ready to watch a movie, don't you? That is the sound from different NASA recording stations. That's the sound of outer space. The sound of the planets. That's harmony. It's not changing like, no. I could see some of you are like, you're kidding. There really is order. This is... Check it out if you'd like. Don't listen to that 24 hours a day, all right? That's not going to do it. You need scripture and words and the voice of the Lord in your life. So anyway, we have some amazing things about creation. And from the moments of creation, the symphony began. That's why I'm here like this morning. I'm a farmer, and I don't stay clean like this very long. And my music abilities were a marching band with a trombone, and that was really hard to do this. So I kind of just put music out of my life for a while and turned to the bad music. But I knew inside something was wrong with it. So one day I piled it all up. And it was a big pile because we used to have big things that had music on them back in the old days. Remember that, guys? You're a lot younger than I am. I'm not looking at you for that reason. Anyway. Yeah, you got it. Anyway. Whatever you have to do to get free, do it and listen to the Lord. And so anyway, from the moments of creation, the symphony began, the beautiful sounds of His voice. The Jewish people who study these things even believe that God possibly maybe even sang as creation took place. I wouldn't say it's not possible. Seeing all that He is, why do people want to sing? Why did David write about praise? Why did David know praise? He knew praise so well. In the little biblical harp I have, a tin string, he would hang it in his window in Jerusalem, and every night the wind would come up from the north where he had it hanging and blow and wake him up, and God was like, time to get up, we're doing another psalm. That's how we have the Psalms. And it was praise. I'm calling it an anthem of praise is upon the earth even now. And believers, we need to be a part of that anthem, right? We need to be pursuing this anthem of praise because it will set you free. It will deliver your soul. It'll put you in glory. Whenever the moment is here. Music and singing. So the sound of rushing water and thunder and the sounds of harpists playing, that's considered one of the sounds of God's voices. Now also you can hear that He is as a trumpet sounding. Okay? And so the other day I was working on that Ancient of Days. And we have some 9-inch rains up in Marshall and some 5-inch rains. And I was on the harp and I just kind of had looked at this stuff and I was playing away, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm so happy not to have to be outside. And man, the lightning hit very close to our house and the thunder, boom! And I was raking on the harp pretty hard and I was like, I got up off the seat and I was like, oh my Lord, what am I doing? You know, this sound is, it's something. It's something with Him. And it's not like anything we know. The sound of His voice, He is that still small voice. But in the fullness of His presence, so this morning, as we talk about these things, the Father has an anthem, and it's around His throne. Can you see Jesus playing the harp? And I put that little seed out this morning, that before you leave here, that might be something that is with understanding that begins to come to us. The Father's anthem. He's surrounded by harps. In His presence, there's fullness of joy and life evermore. Every moment I sit at the harp, it is a moment of great joy. Thank You for allowing it today. Do you know, in the 1700s, there was a time when harpists were rounded up and their harps were burned and they were burned with them. I can't imagine any other reason that unless a society has gone so far wrong that they destroy the things that are right in every way. And so I don't expect that in the near future, but I do know in Isaiah it says, in Isaiah 24, it speaks about the time when the harp is silent. Believers, that'll be a time when we need to know what it sounds like so we can replay it in our mind. And He joys over His people with singing. The angels sing. You know, when Jesus was born, Yeshua, they came. Choirs of angels, heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God. Glory, glory. I have to play glory for you just real quickly here. It's real interesting when you start to look into some of these words. Do you know that the word glory, what is the commandment that speaks about honoring your father and mother? That word honor is the same as this word glory. That's the word for glory. Glory to God in the highest. It was an anthem prepared in perfection when Jesus' birth was announced. The angels of heaven came. So today, I'd like to take you to the most beautiful, isn't near enough to describe it. And go ahead and bring that first slide up, if we could. This is a place. I hope we're going to be able to make it work today. That's not the place. That is a harp that I was taking, that little one was taking a picture, and the sunrise just caught it right. I call that my fire harp. So let's see that. I think that was slide 9, right? Okay, let's go to number 1. Okay, 2. There. Some of you recognize what that is. Sea of Galilee. In talking about perfection, I in God's anthem, I want to bring this into your thoughts this morning. There's been a lot of things, good and bad, happen there at the Sea of Galilee. And it is some very deep water spiritually, I want to say that. It's only about 130 to 150 feet deep. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles in length. It is 8 miles wide. Jesus called all the disciples except one from the Galilee area. What was that one special one He didn't call from there? Judas. Several fishermen were called, and as we were there, with Liberty Live, it seemed the normal lake and water recreation during the day. At night, it turned into a party area with loud music and stuff. It's also known in your scripture as Kinneret. Have you ever heard that word? Lake Kinneret. I might be saying that wrong. David's harp was called a Kinneret. Kinneret, means what? Harp. Do you know what shape the Sea of Galilee is in? Take a guess. It's in the shape of a harp. And it is said about the Sea of Galilee that at times it sounds like harps playing when the wind blows a certain way. I want you to know of the perfection of God's anthem. This was central. This was headquarters for Jesus. He made it the ministry headquarters, Capernaum, right on the shore for various reasons. And some we're still finding out about. So many things happened there. And that's why I say, become a part of God's symphony and anthem that He's given you to sing and to know and to live your life out. Go live it fully. Don't hold back. Go live for Him. You don't have to hold back just because you want to, I'm going to work on my anthem. Go. Go work on it. He'll show you. If you hit some sour notes, He'll show you. If your purpose has turned sour, He'll show you and He'll help you. We're going to find that out at the end of the story here today with the Sea of Galilee. So the prophet Isaiah had already spoke about this. Can anyone, let's just name what some of the perfection of Sea of Galilee was with Jesus. What did He do around there? He what?
Walked on water.
He walked on water. That is very good. Calmed the storm. How about He ran a food service there too, do you know? They were always hungry when they were listening. And they said, we got to keep listening. He just speaks. We want to know. He healed people. He cast out the evil out of people that there was no... He what? He did. He did. That's right. He went fishing and told them where the fish were. It is perfect. I made the statement, and I don't know if it's wrong or not. Perfect. The Sea of Galilee was perfect for Jesus, and Jesus was perfect for the Sea of Galilee. He called all the disciples there except Judas. Everything was set up for an anthem, right? An anthem, a beautiful, beautiful story. Now, we don't know much about the singing, but we do know about the taxing. The Romans had a grip on Capernaum. They taxed you, like if you were to leave Sedalia, they'd tax you going out. Then they'd tax you when you come back in. That's what the Romans did, even if you were just going a short trip. So, we do know a lot about it from the Gospels, and some things are still being discovered. And Rabbi Dale Cohen has a vast knowledge. I think he has even done digging there in the areas that aren't discovered or made known too much yet. And anyway, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about this part of the Messiah's life when he began to speak about he is going to come to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have done what? They've seen a great light. You know the scriptures. And upon those who sat in the region, a shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, remember, what does light bring? When He said, let there be light, what happened?
Light.
Order came. Order. If you look that word clear up, it means box. What do you do when you have a mess? You try to go buy a box to put it in. Bring some order. That's what it means. Light be means order. He established order. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Naphtali was the name in the prophecy was the swiftness of a deer. But he shall produce beauty and praise in Israel. Beautiful praise in Israel came as a result of Jesus coming. Zebulun, they were seafarers. Guess what that was all about? Making money off of the sea. What was Peter and John about the business doing? The Father's boat, and you know, what are they going to do now? Jesus has called them. Are they going to leave that behind? And yes, they did. This area was ripe and ready, prophesied long before Jesus came, about it being an amazing place. And it's an amazing place for us if you would be called to go there. But I want to speak to your futures now. I believe it reveals our future. And we're going to see, someone's already mentioned it with one of the stories of Jesus in that time. So what has happened, it's in Matthew 4. And I'm just going to give you where you can write it down. Matthew 4:12. John the Baptist has been arrested, and the disciples came to speak to Jesus about it, and then he's been killed. And Jesus got in a boat, and he went. And he went to the mountain, or he went to he went to a place that was where he could... I can't remember what that said exactly, but it was a place where he could pray and prepare himself for what's up. And they came to him and said, the people followed him, and they came to him and said, the people are needing something to eat. Send them away. And what did he tell them? You do something. You take care of it. That's giving us a little clue about how rich their faith was at that time. Evidently, they probably had the sack lunches. knowing being out with Jesus, you know, you do something about it. Maybe they had something. You bless that food. Remember that sometimes when you're thinking, So Jesus picked up where John the baptizer had cleared the way. Did you know that the Jordan River flows and is fed from the Sea of Galilee? What happened? We didn't even say that about Jesus. With the water, it was what? Baptizing. Now, he sent the disciples out. You baptize them. They're here. Go do what John was doing. And they did. There were smaller sources. Galilee is a freshwater source that also has salt water, little streams running into it. And how does it remain fresh water? That's still a mystery that they're still talking about. Also, it is Israel's main water source and the most beautiful waterfall where Rabbi Dale Cohen proposed to his wife. It was that beautiful. Isn't that right, Ben? I asked him about it one time, and so it has been a place where evil men and wicked men have set up idols and worshipped other gods, the north part of Israel. But the Galilee was prepared for the Messiah. And Jesus had gone to the deserted place. And he came back and he fed the 5,000. And so then you can pick that up in about verse 22 and read on through to the end, about 35, I believe. But did you know that as believers, we bring that same transforming power into the lives of people who are hurting? For the Beatitudes, remember those? Jesus spoke the Beatitudes. It's really the first time that humanity ever heard God's voice in a way that said, I'm comforting you. I'm comforting. He has delivered his people all through time. But Jesus comforted them with another human voice. It was so beautiful and special. And you can find comfort in Matthew 5 if you read the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You have nothing else left. God says you're happy to be envied. Really? In the Amplified. If you're hurt and you're mourning loss, He comforts us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So the word of the living God can bring people back into their anthem that they maybe even don't know about. Maybe you're going to be able to introduce to them a purpose that God has given. And you don't tell them how to do it. You know, you have this special gift. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe God put that there for a purpose. You could, and so we can be a blessing. So, in closing, I want to tie this together with this harp-shaped sea. And we're going to look just quickly into this. This after the feeding of the 5,000, what happened? Now, these were fishermen, and they knew the seas, and they knew Jesus. They thought they knew Jesus. So in verse 22 of Matthew 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I don't know anybody that could make a fisherman get into a boat. They're pretty much, hey, they're biting here. I'm not leaving. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. This was after all of that. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself. Try that number three. This is really high. You can see those are little houses down there. I don't know the elevation on it, but it is very high. And it would take a long time to get up there on foot because we rode a bus, didn't we? And it was easy to go up. So get this in your mind. So Jesus is up on the mountain, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's verse 23. Now when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Did you know in Psalm chapter 50, it speaks about when the Lord will return? The Lord will call from the heavens, bring those together, those who I've called and who have known me by sacrifice. And it says it will be very tempestuous around him as he comes. That's a rehearsal. Because he is going to come to the disciples, isn't he? In the fourth watch of the night. Now put that slide 9 up. The fourth watch of the night. It's dark. And Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Interesting. He went walking on the sea. There's only one other place in Scripture where standing, and we're talking about standing, you know, Peter, what did he say? First, they were so terrified. It's like it's a ghost. It's something bad. How many times do we think about that? It's something bad. Well, if you hear the thunder and a harp, and rushing water, crashing water, You might think it's something bad. Well, what if the Lord's speaking to you? If you're saved. Now, don't go out and stand in thunderstorms. That's not wisdom. But they saw him, and they cried out for fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." But when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." I don't think they were expecting Jesus to come. They knew he was up praying in a high spot where he always went. I think they were probably, possibly saying things about him. Why is he sending us to the other side? That's where the demon-possessed people are. That's where the Romans are over there. He's going to the other side. They were doing this, that kind of thing, and they weren't in faith. Like, he'll come. He'll come. I think he was building in them a foundation for the future. Because you know how these men died? They were not afraid to speak his name when there was a cross sitting there right before them. And they were telling them, "We're going to put you on that cross." They were not afraid because Jesus watches over. And I made this statement not long ago that there's not a death that goes unnoticed with Jesus. He is watching in the very moments when things get intense. You have to comfort yourself. "I am with you always, even to the end." He was building in them something that would allow them to take their anthem out. And look where we are gathered today, because they wrote about these things. And we're living them. Be strong in your anthems, okay? And did I give you the Revelation 5 scripture? I can't remember if I did. I don't think I did. But go look up the sea of fire and glass. Everywhere that God's feet, when it's mentioned, he is standing, it's as a paved sapphire and glass. You know what was before him? Again, hundreds of thousands. And you know what they were doing? They had just come from great tribulation. They had loved their lives, not even to the death. And you know what else they had? Harps. All of them. Harps. Please come up and touch the strings. You don't have to be a harpist. I hope I don't offend anyone who is very accomplished at harp music. I love to hear them play. So I'm dressing like this for a different reason. This is my symphony right here. I'm putting this in my life. It's a foundation stone. If you will look into these stories in the Galilee, he built the foundation. See, that looks a little sapphire-ish. I couldn't believe when that picture did that to me. I was like, I'm going to use it because I know about the sapphire. The Ten Commandment tablets, NASA has confirmed that with intense laser heat with limestone, it turns to sapphire. Sapphire. Beautiful, beautiful stones. When God's finger went into that, it wasn't an old cut-out looking piece of rock. It was a jewel, a gem. Father, I bless you today. I say your majesty. Oh, your majesty. We extend our hearts to you this day. We long to know your majesty. Lord, how to survive your majesty. Lord, we bless you today. I thank you for each one here who has their own anthem that has been prepared by you, Lord. You're waiting. You're waiting. You have given all you could give to make this happen. And it's here. Life is being lived. Send the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh, into their lives and produce the most beautiful thing that is theirs alone to sing to you, Father. The beautiful harmony that will be in the kingdom, it just amazes us, and I thank you, Lord. Teach us how to rehearse. Teach us how to find harps, how to play harps, how to proclaim the wholeness that comes from music when it is your gifted order. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. Your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you sharing your heart and your harps.
One more thing. On the love offering, I would like for you to, if you want to put my name on it, that's okay. I want to put it into this, what you were talking about with the needy mothers and children, if you would, please. That's a part of my anthem I want to sing. I don't have children, and I love to see that happen. And so I'll let you go.
Will do. Well, I'd like to invite some of our prayer team to come up, at least one over here and a couple over here. I'd like for you to come up, and if you'd like to touch the harp to share, he said this small one is good. Come up and feel it and touch it. It's important. Sound is important. So if there's something that God's been working in your heart today about, come up and share that. That's what these, come on up, if you would, just two or three, the prayer team, come up and share with you. Matthew 18 says where two agree on earth. Well, just come up and agree. They can agree with you. Just speak that. If God's got it on your heart, make it solid. Make it happen today. So if you have an offering, you know what Pastor Chris has shared he wants to use it for. So I want to speak this blessing over you as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Thank you for coming today.